Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Train your body. Here's exercise physiologist Melanie Cole, MS.
In a recent online issue of the New England Journal of Medicine, the U.S. doctors tackled seven obesity-related myths that are commonly found in the media and with material from government agencies, as well as six presumptions that, despite a lack of convincing evidence, people are convinced are true. There's presumptions, and my guest to talk about this is Dr. Pamela Peek. She's an internationally renowned physician, scientist, and expert in the field of nutrition, metabolism, stress, and fitness. So, Dr. Peek, let's talk about this first, this study. It's a recent study. It was a pretty all-encompassing study, and there was both myths and presumptions about obesity. Tell us what those were.
Okay, well, here's the gig. It was David Allison down at the University of Alabama and his wonderful team. And what he was saying to himself was, hey, you know, let's look at the literature real closely. There have been a lot of ideas, you know, everything from myths and presumptions to, you know, related to obesity. Are they really true? I mean, do we have enough substantive literature, credible stuff, evidence-based, to really say, yeah, 100% you should be doing this? All right, so let's look at some presumptions. One of the first ones is really going to be an eye-opener, and look at the little eyebrows hitting the ceiling when I say this, and that is regularly eating breakfast is protective against obesity. Regularly eating breakfast is protective against obesity.
Now, that's the presumption.
Yeah, that's the presumption, right? And that's versus skipping breakfast, for instance, and we're assuming that you're having a healthy breakfast, that you're not doing some bad boys here. Well, guess what we found? They found that skipping breakfast, you know, is supposed to, you know, lead to overeating later in the day. Right? And that's what the assumption was. So you better not skip it. You better have regular. Well, guess what they found? There's absolutely nothing in the current research literature that backs this up. Now, what does this mean? Is it simply says that there have been associations in certain studies. And you, for instance, I know you've spoken to people like Dr. Jim Hill and others, and the famous National Weight Control Registry. He was the one, and it was his people who have been studying these people who've kept off weight for years and years. They found that the mass majority of them have a healthy breakfast in the morning. So they associated that with success in keeping weight off and dropping weight in the first place. Well, guess what? Believe it or not, there has never, ever been a study of people who are trying to drop weight, some of whom eat breakfast, and some of whom don't eat breakfast, just to compare. No one has ever done it. So I called up Jim Hill, and I asked him, you know, Jim, what gives here? And he laughed. He says, Pam, it's absolutely true. No one's ever done the study. So you know what he's doing? He and David Allison are actually conducting the very first study of its kind, which is happening as we speak, which will compare breakfast versus non-breakfast. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying that, you know, having a healthy breakfast is wrong. I'm saying that we don't have enough literature. That's why it's a presumption. We don't have enough literature to absolutely put a period at the end of the sentence. So my recommendation to every single listener out there, keep having a healthy breakfast, because we know it's associated with a weight reduction as well as keeping it off. We just need to see the confirmatory study. That's why this whole article came out in the first place.
So you can see it, and so people can see the links between what is actually been proven already. Now, the next one I want to jump to is snacking contributes to weight gain and obesity. These are short segments. I want to make sure we get to this one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know what,
snacking
this one
is a huge one.
Well, here's gig. I'm someone who wholeheartedly recommends appropriate snacking. For instance, a mid-afternoon snack, absolutely important. If you get up early in the morning, a mid-morning snack, because, you know, it's been enough hours, is very important. And so, you know, we still have not had definitive study to be able to say that snacking per se is really going to help out here, but we've found in certain studies that it's very helpful. We just haven't had the definitive one. Now, this is as opposed to what I call grazing all day. Now, there are people who literally have substituted, you know, meals with just constant 24/7
grazing. Sure, there's some
grazing.
Diets out there that are just grazing, about grazing.
No. See, that right off the bat, I'm telling you, that's not going to work at all. You need to have some, you know, decent, healthy meals here. But what has not been, you know, yet definitively proven, and of course now this has provoked all the scientists out there to finally do it, is to show that when you have those healthy snacks at appropriate times, again, mid-morning optional depending upon what time you got up, mid-afternoon absolutely required, so you can, you know, decrease the total amount of food you eat at dinner time. We need to see that definitive study, and here I am twirling my little thumbs waiting for that study to happen. Meanwhile, for all the listeners out there, do exactly what I just said, and that is continue to have that healthy mid-afternoon snack for sure.
And what about yo-yo dieting? Dr. Peak, because we've been hearing for years, oh, you've lost a lot of weight, and then you put it back on, and then you've lost it again. And this is one of those presumptions that yo-yo dieting is associated with an increased mortality.
Well, you know something? That was proven not to be true, you know, by a number of different new studies that have just come out that contradict earlier studies that said mortality most definitely was associated with that. Now, between you and me and the walls here, none of us believe that there's any significant mortality associated with going up and down. Quite frankly, you know, I already know after having worked in the field for years and years that I have boatloads of patients who have spent, you know, like made a second career out of going up and down here, whether it was 10 pounds or 50 pounds.
Yeah, I have to.
And seriously, you know, it's like on their resume, yo-yo dieter. However, they finally, at some point, got the big message. You know, they read that message in the inbox there in their life, and they said, uh-oh. And then they finally were able to get into a long-term weight management program that was healthy and sustainable, and they called it a day. They had no issues with mortality, and they had no issues with any increased morbidity, for that matter. They did just fine. So it's been highly controversial. I would just simply say, at this point in time, in the best of all worlds, it's really great not to thrash your body around with, you know, huge weight gains and reductions. But at the end of the day, if you can finally find some long-term program that works, you know, it doesn't impact on your mortality at all.
Well, speaking of long-term programs, and we have about a minute and a half or a little bit left, eating more fruits and vegetables will result in weight loss or less weight gain, regardless of whether one intentionally makes any other behavioral or environmental changes. So we've always heard that if you eat your fruits and vegetables, and that alone will do it, whether or not you start exercising, whether or not, you know, you start taking your dog for a walk. So talk about that one a little bit. We want to try.
Okay, well, I'm laughing my head off. Okay, so this is LOL, you know, time, big time. So I'm going to have my fruits and vegetables and then dive into a bag of potato chips. I mean, you know, what did we just accomplish? Nothing. You know, what none of this really brought to bear was the fact that the fruits and vegetables have to fit into a program. They have to fit into a plan. You can't just sort of schlop some fruits and vegetables and then sit on the couch, watch TV all day, and eat candy bars. You think that's really going to help? Nah, wrong. So, you know, I've never fallen for the just eat more fruits and vegetables and life will once again be wonderful. I have always been much, you know, more particular, saying you've got to have a blueprint to follow. And you've got to have the fruits and vegetables balanced into that blueprint of a total healthy lifestyle, which is your physical activity, of course, your nutrition, as well as your stress management. So this one was an easy one for me. I never fell for that one.
Well, so many people did. You are listening to Train Your Body, Motivate and Perform with the American College of Sports Medicine right here on Radio MD, where you can listen anytime, on demand or on the go. And we're talking today about the obesity myths that have been shattered and the presumptions. So maybe everything isn't quite as clear as we've always thought it was. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.